You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. And we're live. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of the KoopaCast, PureNintendo.com's bi-weekly podcast dealing with all things Nintendo. This is episode number 86, in my defense, motion controls. I am your host, Matt, the multimedia manager of PNM and PureNintendo.com, and I am joined by just one other person today, editor-in-chief Justin Sharp.
Hey, everyone. Good to be here.
He's just one person, but he's as important as about two people.
No. But maybe I have multiple personalities, so I'll try and be two people. So
nice. And as we go through yet another slow winter week in the gaming world, I decided to dig out a topic that is a long time coming, I think. Well, we need to have a little bit of a debate on motion controls. For better or worse, motion controls have been the mainstay for Nintendo console platforms for almost 10 years now. So I think it's time we weighed in on them. And Justin, what's your initial position on motion controls?
Motion controls. I guess I have some mixed feelings as the last 10 years have unfolded. Obviously, they can be done. They can be implemented really well. Other times, not so much. And yeah, I think it depends on the game. It depends on the genre. But when it's done well, I think it's very intuitive and anyone can pick up and play a game. If it's done poorly, you know, even gamers have hard times. So
now, you know, we as gaming journalists, it's good. It's best for us not to generalize, but Justin, tonight I'm going to ask you to generalize and I'm going to tell you to encapsulate the entire 9-year history of Nintendo's motion controls and put a yay or a nay stamp on that.
I would say yay on motion controls.
Yay on motion controls. That's excellent news because I say nay.
Perfect. Well, then I don't have to be two people then.
Yes. And now we have a debate.
Nice. Let's do it.
So what makes you so positive on motion controls for from Nintendo here?
Whoa. So positive. That's kind of overselling it a little bit. No.
yeah, equals positive.
It's positive for sure. I would say in recent memory, one of the big games that has helped sway me into the yay crowd is Splatoon. I think Splatoon implemented motion controls really well. And it's like you have a third analog stick, and I kind of want every single first person shooter to have that option now. Any shooter that's got dual analog, I want some motion control to be able to, you know, do those fine tune adjustments. Like if you're shooting at someone and you want to track them, it's nice to be able to just kind of move nicely with the motion controls rather than having to, you know, fiddle with the right analog stick. So, I mean, there were definitely some stinkers on the Wii control wise with motion controls, but I don't know. I think the Wii U, there are several games that implemented motion controls really well. I felt like motion controls kind of came of age. So I would say overall, games are better for it. So,
see, I'm with you on the same boat in that the Wii U did motion controls better than the Wii. But when I thought about it, the way the Wii U did the motion controls was much more minimal than how the Wii was used to motion controls. And the Wii, you know, you have the Wiimote and the Nunchuck, and both of those, you know, had little devices in there to log all the moves and stuff like that. And a lot of the games were kind of built around that. With the Wii U, it's got the gyroscope in there, but a lot of it is traditional. You were talking about Splatoon, and I like Splatoon's implementation of motion controls too, but it was very minimal. It was, and I'm sorry for, you know, our audio-only listeners, you know, using this iPhone as an example, it's, you know, a very, you know, small movement up and down, left and right, diagonally and stuff like that. Whereas the Wii, like Wii Remote, I'm not like pointing and like pointing at the screen, or, you know, I'm not shaking my motion controller while I'm trying to hit buttons and move the analog stick. It was very minimal, and I can keep track of my arms as well as keep track of the motions of my fingers. So, I mean, again, that's for me, that's a point against motion controls, is like it was stuffed out of the way. It was kept to a minimal while still kind of putting it in there.
Yeah, I could see that, because, yeah, the more subtle implementations of motion controls are definitely better. We can look back on hindsight there. But I still think that, you know, motion controls in general have improved gameplay, even in those subtle scenarios. So I would say it's still a win overall. Now, we'll see with Star Fox. Obviously, those of us that have played Star Fox Zero so far, the control implementation is not super encouraging. It feels like they're kind of going overboard. Like you said, with some of the Wii games, it feels like it's over, maybe overdone motion control wise. We'll see what the final game looks like. But yeah, I would still say it's a win. Even just having those subtle implementations. If you didn't have the Wii games, you wouldn't necessarily have, what if you had Splatoon without the motion controls? Obviously, you can turn motion controls off and you can just use dual analog, but I would argue that you're not going to have quite the precision that you would with motion controls.
I think that could be argued depending on a person's, you know, personal play style. There definitely are a lot of people who immediately turn the motion controls off. Yeah. Or some people who try it and then turn it off and feel all the better for it. Because, you know, two analog sticks, that's been the traditional, you know, shooting controls in the first place. Or not even just shooting, just 3D motion controls for a while now.
But is it that accurate? I dare say that most people that are super comfortable with dual analog would still agree that there's something better, you know, whether it's mouse and keyboard or, you know, something else, you know, because when you're trying to aim and it's just like voop, 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 voop. And now granted, they've got, you know, what is it, Xbox One has like an Elite controller, and, you know, you've got some controllers out there that probably add some precision to first person shooters specifically, but I don't know, I would say the motion controls still add something to the table. Granted, you talked about people that turned them off, you know, as soon as they started the game. I would discount those people, because those people are probably the people that wouldn't have given motion controls a chance anyway.
I don't know. I can kind of go back and forth on that, I guess. For me, it's just the more, it's like, motion controls, if they work, they have to be successful. But if you lose them, they take away from the experience. Whereas Splatoon, they help out. But I feel like if I got rid of the motion controls in Splatoon, I'm not losing anything in the experience of, you know, playing Splatoon. Obviously, you disagree because you want that precision in there. But I could tell you at the same time. Well, no, I can't tell you. I can't tell you what the other person doing the control on the other side of the world who's kicking my butt in Splatoon is doing. Yeah. All I know is everybody's kicking my butt.
Yeah, I don't know what the prevailing. It'd be nice to see what everybody's using, if they have motion turned on or not when you're playing online.
They should do a Splatfest about that. They should have a Splatfest for motion controls and then traditional controls.
Yeah, you heard it here, folks. If we see a Splatfest in the future, then Nintendo stole our idea.
That was my idea. Copyright. I'm going to come after that.
Yeah, patent pending.
Patent pending.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was looking at the other games for Wii U. Wind Waker. Obviously, use the same thing like Splatoon did. Fatal Frame, again, same thing. Mm-hmm. You're really controlling the camera using that gyroscope.
Mm-hmm. The upcoming Twilight Princess HD, I think, is using it for shooting arrows, I think, which we'll see how that works out.
Right. Well, I mean, it should work out great because, I mean, you played Wind Waker HD, right?
Yeah, it should be better than the pointer because I was actually playing the original Twilight Princess last weekend, and the pointer implementation hasn't aged as well. It's nice that they're switching to the... I don't know, for some reason, holding the gamepad like this is a little more natural than trying to, you know, find the sweet spot for pointing the remote. But I think it's because with the remote, you are tied to that sensor bar. And so you're like, oh, is the sensor bar above the TV or it's below? Okay, I got to find that sweet spot before I actually, you know, get the accuracy I want. Whereas with the gamepad, the motion controls are... As soon as you start moving, you're getting immediate response, and you can see, you know, wherever the controller is, that's where my center point is, and I can start going. So I think in that regard, as we've mentioned, the Wii U motion control implementation does seem to be more natural.
Yeah, definitely. More natural, mm-hmm. more minimal. But enough about the Wii U. Let's talk about the Wii a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is a completely different beast, and of course is older, so I was just thinking about some major like Wii games. Obviously most of these are first party because we're talking about Nintendo here, and then I got a third party in here because what the heck, why not. Obviously the flagship title for Wii was Wii Sports. Skyward Sword, we got to talk to you at some point. Mario Galaxy and Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I have Star Wars Force Unleashed on here.
Ah, yes. But it was a lightsaber game we wanted, but didn't really come through motion control wise. But it was a cool game.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things like I feel like Skyward Sword and Force Unleashed, and I forgot one more that I put in my second page of notes, which is Wii Sports Resort. Like all those, like when you first saw the motion controls, I know a lot of people like looked at that and go, okay, maybe we can have like some kind of realistic sword fight in here. Mm-hmm. Or like the lightsaber, like people wanted to do like, you know, do the lightsaber swings.
Yep.
And obviously, if anybody who's played Force Unleashed, it kind of delivered, kind of did. And obviously the sword swings were very Skyward Sword, sorry, Twilight Princess reminiscent of, you're going to shake the Wii remote and he swings his lightsaber.
Yeah. Well, and if I recall correctly, Force Unleashed came out before Wii Motion Plus was implemented. So the game wouldn't have taken advantage of any one-to-one motion anyway. So, it would be more akin to Twilight Princess's waggle.
And, of course, it did some things like, you know, point at the screen, use force powers, throw stormtroopers around, which I thought was a pretty good...
They did some fun things with that. Couldn't you use like the nunchuck? You could use kind of both of them to kind of like force push forward, or seems like you could do a few different things. It was fun for what it was.
It was fun for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was part of a multi-party title or multi-platform title. And there was a PS3 version and an Xbox 360 version. And obviously me with the Wii, I did have friends with Xbox 360s and PS3s, and I get to saw their versions, and I was completely blown away at looking at what is essentially an entirely different game and a much more robust game in terms of how you could control the main character. What's his name? Starkiller?
Yeah, I don't remember. It sounds right. It's interesting they keep using that name, because they used that in episode 7, and that was the original name for Luke Skywalker. he was going to be Luke Starkiller or something like that.
Yeah. Well, that was like Anakin Starkiller was like supposed to be the... Oh, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
that's straight enough topic.
That's a Star Wars tangent.
Yeah, Star Wars tangent. but yeah, so... And that's kind of like one of those examples for me, like where, you know, the motion controls maybe might have limited the controls a little bit. I mean, yeah, you got to do fun things like throw stormtroopers around here and there. And that was fun after a while, but it didn't have like the, you know, the saber combos that the other two seemed to have. It didn't have like the variety of the enemies that the other two seemed to have and didn't have as many levels. Mm. And of course, that could be blamed from anything from like the dev cycle to, you know, the motion controls themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I would chalk that more up to, you know, they're trying to push the graphics, the content or whatever on those other systems. And, you know, so I wouldn't necessarily say that's a, you know, something motion control related, but
it's like, you could still argue that the motion control is kind of limited the gameplay in there.
I guess a little bit, like you're talking about like button mappings, because like you're talking about the combo system and the other ones, like I'm guessing you press like, you know, circle X circle or whatever, and you can do combos.
Or like ABYY or something like that, and you get another combo and you combine it with force powers. And like I said, there was some of that degree where it's like waggle waggle B or something like that, or waggle waggle A. And
yeah, which I could see that as maybe the precision. Obviously button presses are going to be more precise, and someone just using the controller could probably execute the combos, you know, more swiftly maybe than waggle waggle B or whatever. I'll give you that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that I feel like motion controls don't have much to do, or especially didn't have much to do. Skyward Swords, obviously, like Skyward Sword and Wii Force Resorts, which we're going to get to later, is like a different argument. Mm-hmm. But with like say Wii Sports and Mario Kart, they knew, they feel like here's what the motion controls can do. You know, they can go this direction or they can go this direction. They can't go at the same time, and obviously that's a problem, and we'll have to take advantage of that. Mario Kart, let me ask you a question first. Mario Kart, did you use a controller or did you use the Wiimote?
I use the Wiimote quite a bit, actually, because I was trying to, you know, we always try and prove points, you know, when you're playing with friends. And I was like, I bet I could beat you with the motion controls. And so, you know, then you're challenged to do that. So so I remember liking the motion controls quite a bit, and I used it with the little wheel, you know, that came with Mario Kart Wii. And I thought they did a good job. You know, with the wheel, you had that big button that connected, I think, to the B, basically just like to press the B button. Mm-hmm. But that was actually a really good implementation, because if you're just using the Wii remote by itself in one of the jackets, or even without the jacket, it's not very comfortable. But for doing like drifting and everything with the Wii wheel, man, I did pretty well with that. But
okay,
so it was definitely definitely easy to use, and I thought it added to the gameplay. But
I mean, I would agree. I used the Wii wheel all the time to my friend's controller, and we were pretty evenly matched, I guess, on that game. But I mean, I think the reason it worked so well was there's not much. I mean, I guess relative to it, there's not much going on with the motion controls there. You know, you turn left, you turn right, and you just have varying degrees of that left and right movement. You know, you're not pulling up or pulling back. There's a shake, which you do to do tricks and stuff like that, but otherwise there's not much there. So when it's implemented simply in like a simple environment, like say Mario Kart, then, you know, the motion controls are great.
Yeah.
But if you... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. Basically, yeah, like you said, if it's perfectly matched with the gameplay, you know, and the gameplay is fairly simplistic, like with Mario Kart, you said, hey, you turn left, you turn right, you shake. I mean, that's perfectly suited for the original Wii remote and its capabilities. So, Yeah, I think where developers got into trouble, you know, even Nintendo themselves, was if they tried to do too much, you know, with the motion controls, you know, put too much burden on, oh, I've got to do a waggle waggle B or whatever else in order to execute this crazy combo. You know, keep it simple, keep it matched to the gameplay, you know, keep it intuitive, you know, because intuitively you're like, okay, I want to turn left, I turn left. I want to turn right, I turn right. You know, that's what works so well with Mario Kart, and that's what works so well with Wii Sports, you know, swing the remote, swing the bat. So.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, like, you've tried, like, all the mini games in Wii Sports, and you remember that boxing game, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That game did not work the best after, like, too long. You know, if you punch too fast, or, if you just punch too fast, you're going to, all of a sudden, you notice that your Mii's hands are down below, and you're trying to guard up, and you're just getting socked in the face.
Yeah, the boxing minigame was probably the worst implemented. It was basically trying to do a lot too much for what the Wiimote and the nunchuck could do. See, and the nunchuck couldn't sense nearly as much as the original Wiimote either. So when you put that into the mix, I mean, you know, you're already behind the eight ball there. But yeah, the boxing was definitely the weakest of them. Baseball worked out really well. Tennis was great. Bowling was great. Golf works perfectly.
Those simple swinging motions.
Yep, swinging. And, you know, I do think that they helped later on with the Wii Motion Plus. They added some more accuracy that could tell if you're, you know, slicing or hooking in golf. And then you could do like you could do a little bit of the top spin in the original Wii Sports, but it got better as time went on.
Right. And of course also tennis, which I think I played the most out of anything.
Yeah. And one of the things, I know we'll get to it with Wii Sports Resort, the table tennis, that was awesome. Very good use of the Motion Plus.
Oh, absolutely. And let's just kind of move on a little bit to Mario Galaxy, which is, in the one end of the spectrum where you have heavy motion controls, obviously you have Wii Sports Resort, Skyward Sword, and all that. On the other end, I feel like games like Mario Galaxy is right there, where, you know, 80 to 90% of that game was traditional controls, traditional control input, and the other 10% was finding a way to use the motion controls. And obviously, maybe not 90, maybe I'm exaggerating there, because I'm not thinking of like things like pointed at the screen when Mario's trapped in the bubble and you have to like blow him around, or like using the pull stars, like that's another thing. But again, a lot of that was pointed at the screen or shaking the Wii Remote. Those are basically the two commands, the two motion-based commands for the Mario Galaxy series. It was point at the screen or waggle the Wii Remote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say your argument, the motion controls really didn't add much to the gameplay, is sound with Mario Galaxy, because, I mean, let's be honest, they could have mapped the shake to a button, or, you know, they could have, now granted, pointing at the screen and collecting all the star bits, that would be kind of hard to map that to a button, but yeah, I like that they kept it minimal, you know, just a couple input, with the shake and the pointing, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like how would it have worked on the Wii U. I mean, obviously there's a virtual Wii U. Like, do you have Mario Galaxy on the Wii U's virtual console?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Is there like any does it like have the original mapping? Do you have to use the Wii Remote, or can you use the controller?
You have to use the Wii Remote. Pretty much all Wii VC games, you have to use the original control inputs. The only difference is you can run it off TV if you want. And
that sounds like the worst.
Yeah, the Wii U gamepad actually has a sensor bar built into it. You know, where the camera is, there's two little LEDs there. So not that you would want to play that way, but you know, if you're a kid and you're, you know, hiding that you're playing video games from your parents, and you you know, get in the bed with your gamepad and you're trying to play. Sure, that works. But other than that, there's probably not many uses for it.
If you're a kid and you're trying to sneak playing video games and your plan involves using three controllers, I think you need to rethink some strategies.
Yeah, I know. Man, wouldn't that be crazy? You're not even holding that controller. You're just using that as your screen, and then you're, you know, pointing at it with the remote.
You have to like try to prop it up somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, that would be hard to do. Yep.
But yeah, like I think about it, like how could they, how could we translate Mario Galaxy to like the Wii U controller, right? And the answer is obviously we map like ZL or ZR to, or the shake to ZL, ZR. And if you want to pick up Starbix, you can use like the stylus.
Yeah, or your finger and just like touch on the screen or something, or you know. Yeah, it would translate fairly well to the Wii U.
That's pretty much my argument right there. Is Mario Galaxy is like the motion controls didn't really seem to add too much there, and the fact that it was a Nintendo first party game didn't really bolster my confidence in motion controls at the time. It doesn't really do that now either, obviously, as I'm sitting here arguing against it.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that, with Mario Galaxy 1 and 2, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of need to implement motion controls. I mean, control-wise, it didn't make much sense for the gameplay. Most of the other games, I would say, worked out pretty well, first party-wise.
What about third party wise? Didn't you play, what's that one game?
Red Steel.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Wow, that's pretty good guessing right there.
Well, I kind of narrowed it down. I was like, he's probably talking about Red Steel. it was a fairly high profile motion third party game.
Yeah.
Did you play the first one?
I have not, so I was hoping you were gonna take most of the weight on talking about Red Steel.
Yeah, so the first one was obviously lauded as, you know, an awesome game. It was one of the launch titles on the Wii when it came out. And so people were like, wow, this is really cool. You've got, like, a katana. You've got, weapons, you know, first-person shooter stuff. And they had showed off, like, you can turn the Wii remote sideways and shoot, like, a, quote, gangster, all this, you know, crazy stuff. And so I remember thinking, I was like, wow, that sounds pretty cool. In reality, it was a lot less cool.
Can we put that on the box, please? Like, I want to buy Red Steel and put that in the back of the box. You could turn the gun's controller sideways and shoot like a quote gangster.
Yeah, I'm sure that's on there somewhere. They got it in quotes and everything.
gangster better be in quotes.
Yeah, well, I actually remember when they showed off the game at E3. I think he said something like that. The Ubisoft guy, he's like, I think he was French, and he was like, you can even hold it sideways like a true gangster, or something like that. And it was
you can be straight gangster. I don't know. That's my French accent right there. I'm sorry, everybody.
Yeah, sorry for our terrible French accents. I remember at the time, you know, thinking like, oh, that's, yeah, whatever. That's kind of cool. I mean, the idea that you could adjust the grip of your weapon just by, you know, twisting your wrist. It was a cool idea, I think. As virtual reality goggles get more and more mature and the games get more mature, as soon as they have like a touch implementation of like a gun controller or something, I mean, having the ability to twist and turn that to whatever orientation you want is going to be an important part of the gameplay, I think, for aiming and for realism. So, at the time it was a, you know, cool novel thing, but yeah, in most of the sword fights, it was very poorly done. I think Ubisoft learned that, it's not one-to-one, so they couldn't quite do everything that they wanted to. And that's where Red Steel 2 comes in, because Red Steel 2 was one of the major games that used the Motion Plus. I don't know if it was, let's see, Wii Sports Resort was the first one, but Red Steel 2 was shortly after that. And I think it even came bundled with the Motion Plus too. But the motion controls in that worked amazingly. I really enjoyed Red Steel 2, and I thought it was a great implementation of it. So if you haven't tried it, you should definitely check it out. Also, the setting's really cool. I mean, a Western with samurai swords, I mean, it's just awesome.
All right. And obviously, we're talking about swords again, so we might as well get into Wii Sports Resorts. I thought I was going to start with swords. No, it's called a bait and switch.
Yeah, I like it.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Wii Sports Resort obviously was one of the first. That was the game that was supposed to demonstrate what the motion control plus could really do.
Mm-hmm.
Which I gotta say, it was kind of annoying. It came with the motion controller plus, but I'm annoyed because I was suckered into purchasing two of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, one for me and one for when a friend comes over, right? Mm-hmm. And then shortly after that, they come up with the Wii Controller Plus, which has the motion controller plus built in, mm-hmm. which is a better version of the motion plus that I have.
Yeah.
So I was thinking extra $20 for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you just sell those on eBay like I did.
You sold yours?
Oh yeah, like I sold them pretty quick because I knew they would drop in value fairly fast. So because I had I think I had two or three of them, because one came with Wii Sports Resort. I think another one came with it was this game where you play as this yellow ball character and you bounce around. Totally forget the name of it. Anyways, but I had one from that, and then I had one from Red Steel 2 that came with the Motion Plus adapter. But yeah, then they came out with the Remote Plus, and so I immediately just sold those and just got all Remote Pluses. But
Nintendo really has a knack for making the technology that you purchased feel inferior almost immediately.
Yes and no. I mean, think about Apple, for instance, or any company that's making a smartphone. I mean, how often do smartphones come out nowadays?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I mean, Apple totally came to my mind, but that doesn't excuse. That's like, that doesn't mean Nintendo suddenly did not make a new iteration of the 3DS or three iterations of the 3DS.
Yeah, that's true. But they're fairly spaced out. I'd say a year and a half between, if not more, but... And to me, I've kind of gotten over not owning every piece of Nintendo hardware ever. So to me, when they come out with a new thing, I'm perfectly fine selling my old one and, you know, trading up for the new one. Now, granted, that's been kind of an ordeal because there isn't a true account system yet. Obviously, Nintendo just opened up Nintendo account registration, so you should go check that out. But so that's going to be obviously a whole lot easier in the future. But
yep, totally pre-registered this morning.
Nice. same.
Sorry,
where were we going with that?
We were talking about Wii Sports Resort, and then we got off into a tangent.
Oh yes, yeah, Wii Sports Resort. I'm trying to remember the things that I liked about that one. I mean, the golf was pretty fun. I think they actually made it harder. Because they added in the extra layers of sensing. So when you're putting, before you would just line up, you would adjust for the gradient of the green and you would putt, right? But mm-hmm. now, depending on what angle you actually putt, it could totally throw off where you actually aimed. So if you're aimed and you're perfectly set up, you're oh, this is gonna be perfect for that gradient to, you know, bank to the left. But then you kind of shank it a little bit when you actually putt, it's going to totally take your aim and, you know, skew it off another 20 degrees or something. Same thing when you're driving or, you know, doing the other clubs. I mean, it made it more realistic, sure, but I don't know that people had as much fun with it. What was the other one? The Frisbee?
Yeah, there was Frisbee.
Frisbee golf. The Frisbee golf I had a lot of fun with. The playing catch with the dog wasn't as fun, but the Frisbee golf was really fun.
See, I don't remember their Frisbee golf so much because another game that took advantage of the Wii Motion Plus also came out shortly after that it just kind of remembered, which was Tiger Woods Pro Golf.
Yeah.
I don't know, 2012 or something like that. Maybe I have it back here. Wii Fit Plus, Legend of Zelda, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It's somewhere. Anyway, yeah, it's a Tiger Woods game, and they also had Frisbee Golf.
Yeah, I actually remember that. And I think it was a title that came with Wii Motion Plus too, wasn't it?
No, it did not. At least my version did not.
Okay, because I think I had one that came with it. I'd have to look back. But yeah, I remember when they were bundling it, several of those initial Motion Plus games had some bundles, and I think I got two or three from just buying games that had it bundled. But yeah, the Frisbee Golf in Tiger Woods was fun, but the style, I mean, graphics obviously weren't that great on the Wii, but they were a lot better in the stylized Nintendo worlds of Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resort. So to me, it was more enjoyable playing on the lush greens of Wii Sports Resort than it was, the jagged edges of, realistic Augusta National or something. So,
You say that with such scoff in your voice.
yes, scoff.
I don't know. I mean, I enjoy the Tiger Woods more simply because that was just more of a dedicated game for golf and obviously frisbee golf. But again, we're talking about we're having fun with these examples, but again, I have to point out that these examples are more simple versions of the motion control. They're less frantic. Obviously you set up, you line up your shot, you swing, or you throw. And it's not like frantic, say, and like that sword fighting game. I don't know if you played that at all. And that was probably what I liked the most amount of hours in was that sword fighting. And they had like two modes. They had like a duel where you stood, in that center of that really high platform over the water and you knocked your
Oh,
opponent
yeah.
off. And the other one, which was like an adventure where you fought off like a horde of people.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were talking about a different game, sword fighting, but yeah, I like that one a lot. That was
I
fun.
like that one too, but I mean, the more I played it, the more the cracks started to show in that. When I played with my friend, I played the dual one a lot, and we eventually realized that despite all of the, precise movements you can do here and here and here, you could just as easily devolve into like quick waggling like this, and then it was that much faster and that much easier to take care of, fight each other off and get a quick win or whatever.
Yeah, it definitely, it's like if you really were trying to beat all of the levels in the single player mode, yeah, you just revert back to waggle and you could get by. And then with the dueling stuff, most people would eventually start doing that just because they're like they're fighting and they realize the other person's faster than them, so then they're just like going crazy, and it worked as a strategy. But yeah, so yeah, in that case, I mean, it was definitely not well suited, but
And of course, the faster you moved, the less accurate the one-to-one controller became. And like in boxing, when your guard's up but your hands are actually down, and this one, you could be having your sword pointed forward in real life, but in the game, he's off to the side like this, and all of a sudden you're getting a beat down.
Yeah, I think the constant need to recalibrate and things like that definitely hampered the experience.
And finally, speaking of sword fighting, let's move on to our
Ah, the Skyward of Swords.
the entire podcast has been leading up to this moment.
Yes, it has. One of these days, we're just gonna have to play the game together, Matt, so you can see how to play it. So,
Oh, okay.
all right, end of
Yeah,
podcast
we're just gonna go out with that because I'm gonna drive down. And we're gonna play some Skyward Sword right now. I'm gonna call in sick to my other job, and
There
we're
we
gonna do
go.
this.
How many
But
hours? How many hours is it? It's like that's only like 8 hours. Come
what
on.
Skyward Sword?
No, eight hours to for you to drive here.
Ah, oh yeah, that's fine. I could do that. No problem.
Oh man.
I drove like 22 hours to Minnesota. I can do this.
Yeah, that's right. That's nothing.
Exactly. It's nothing, especially with the prospect of watching you teach me how to play Skyward Sword correctly.
Exactly. I mean, what better motivation do you need?
And watch you flail about, and then at one point accidentally pop the shield out. Yeah. Which I must have done 8,000 times.
Yeah.
Like we talked about, you could add as many motion pluses to the Wiimote as you want, but the nunchuck is still that nunchuck.
Yeah, that's
that registers any motion, and they always map it to like to one thing. So the nunchuck, like if you move the nunchuck, it's going to do that thing.
You must be a very fidgety Zelda player, maybe.
When it came to I'll tell you, in the Wii generation, here's how my friend described me. He said I play the Wii. He said I would be the perfect person for the Nintendo commercials because I play the Wii like you see the people on the TV playing the Wii, which is standing up. Doing his full motion, trying to get into it as best as I can.
Hey, that's good.
So I always played Wii games standing up. Even Mario Galaxy, I always played it standing up.
Nice. Hey, that's the first step to success.
Right. So obviously I was up and ready to go in Skyward Sword with my Wii Motion Plus attached to my Wii Remote.
Yeah. I do wonder, now we haven't actually gotten conclusive evidence of this, but I do wonder if the Motion Plus adapter was any different sensing wise than the Wii Remote Plus. I would hope it wouldn't be because it's supposed to be the same hardware. But we need to do a test on that.
Yeah, because I mean I remember I had to recalibrate so many times, especially when things get heated, which they do oftentimes in the latter half of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I don't remember, I mean, I remember having to recalibrate every now and then, but not nearly as much. And I've heard, like, your similar arguments from, like, people on NeoGAF. It's kind of like, you know, maybe even 60-40, you know, people had a good experience with it, and then 40%, you know, it was all over the place. So I wonder if, you know, that 60% bought the game with the Remote Plus, because I think it was one of the first games to release with a Remote Plus. Maybe it was the initial launch of that. But if you didn't buy it with a Remote Plus, if you bought it separately, then I don't know if you're at a disadvantage or not.
I mean, I might have been. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, we'll test it out someday.
What I can tell you is, of course, like I said, when things got a little bit more frantic, then you start losing calibration, and that hinders the game.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more frustrating than, you know, finding a boss and it's not you that's causing the problems. It's the control mechanism. So, because I've had controllers go out on me or, you know, some button's not working or, analog stick starts sticking or something like that.
But, yeah. I mean, I can't figure out if Skyward Sword did too much or not enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say that it did too much just because it was completely designed around the motion controls. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could obviously say, yeah, it was too much because the whole game, you know, I mean, it's predicated on, you know, using motion controls. There's no way to not play it. Whereas Twilight Princess, you could obviously play, you know, the GameCube version and, you know, probably still have a good experience, maybe even better than what people had on the Wii with the waggle controls and the pointer controls with aiming with the bow. But yeah, with Skyward Sword, it's such a different beast because they just completely designed it around the motion controls. I mean, just like the menus, you know, like navigating the menus, don't you hold down like the B button and then like navigate around up down? Yeah.
But you could also use the analog stick too.
That's like
you
true.
Take your cursor off of the sensor bar screen or whatever, and just use the analog to pick your option.
Yeah, well, and that was at least nice. You could see them kind of transitioning to the Wii U era, where they've kind of gotten rid of the sensor bar, or at least the need for it. You know, and you kind of saw that a little bit in Skyward Sword, where you weren't tied to that sensor bar necessarily. Like just moving your remote up and down would give you that ability to navigate the menu or use the analog D-pad or whatever. But
don't know. I mean, I had a couple of demands about Skyward Sword that I was thinking about, which was it would have been so much of a better game if, you know, you mapped the nunchuck movement to a button on the nunchuck. And if you could actually block with your sword.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, well, you could swing the sword, and while somebody can argue that was natural, and I guess, it's, you know, I'll give it some kind of pass with natural, if you know, if that pleases you.
Well, it doesn't have to please me.
when you have to block, that's like a whole different thing to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think that limitation is just purely based on the constructs of a traditional Zelda game. I mean, you know, they have a shield, so you can use a shield in a discrete manner, not, you know, I think maybe it was a problem in the game design that the fact that they didn't have the ability to block with the sword, you know, that they had just this, okay, it's either or. It's either the sword or the shield, you know, not both at the same time type of thing. So that would have been cool.
I'm trying to think between that. I don't know. I just don't think it was good enough. I don't think it was there yet. Skyward Sword was there yet. Because there are definitely like a lot of like intricate movements I would have liked to have seen. I remember stabbing when I shouldn't have been stabbing, or when I wanted to stab, I didn't get a stab at all.
Yeah, that probably the biggest problem I had was with the stabbing and stabbing when I wanted to stab and it wouldn't. I never really had, it was always hard to get it to stab, actually. Like, I never accidentally stabbed. It was always like I had to be very, very deliberate with that. But I don't know, like everything else in the game, I never had a problem with usage wise or anything. I had a lot of fun with it. But anyways, I'm not saying that you didn't put in the effort or anything like that. You know, it's
I played that game again this year. Well, last year, 2015. And it just didn't seem to age that better. I mean, I gave it another chance.
Yeah.
You can't say I didn't give it another chance.
Did you give it another chance with a Wii Remote Plus?
No, because you won't let me borrow it.
I'll send you one sometime.
All right. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe we'll make a series out of it.
I've got four of them.
You have four of them? I can see that.
Yeah. I've got, well, I started selling off all of my old Wii Remotes and all of my Motion Plus adapters. And it funded the ability to get new ones. So I had, there was a black one that came with Red Steel 2. Maybe it was Red Steel 2 that came with the Wii Remote Plus and not a Motion Plus adapter. No, I think it was a Motion Plus adapter. That's going to bug me. Hold on. I'm looking here.
All right. I guess I'll vamp. Let's see. I guess I should might as well conclude my statements. I still think motion controls aren't there yet. I'm still nay on motion controls. And I think Nintendo did the right thing to keep motion controls down to a minimum with the Wii U, which is just kind of controlling the camera, acting as a third analog stick. It's a nice, simple movement, and it's something that doesn't take up too much time to program or get, you know, get too precise, and it doesn't, like, you don't have to set the controller down to, like, recalibrate anything or stop the gameplay or frustrate the player at all. You know, it's there, it's quick, it's simple, anybody can use it. It doesn't require, you know, too many inputs here or there. So I think that's like the perfect level. But obviously, it's probably going to be on its way out with the next thing, because it's like, it's been less and less motion controls. And they might be at this point thinking, well, why do I even need it anymore? And then it could be gone.
Yeah. I did find that title. It was Fling Smash. You remember that one?
No, not at all.
Okay. It was a game that came out November of 2010. So this would have been, I guess that's 2 years before the Wii U came out. So it wasn't super late. But it came with a black Wii Remote Plus. And it was the game you flew this little yellow Kirby-looking guy around. And it was kind of like a breakout game, but a platformer. So it was very interesting. Anyways, that was one of the remotes that I had. Gotten a couple over the years since then. But But yeah, I guess closing remarks on motion controls.
Yep.
I would say that yeah, I mean they're definitely phasing it out in a lot of areas. And I mean you can see that in a lot of the Wii U games. Most of them are traditional controls now. But I do think there's still a place for motion controls in certain types of games. Obviously, if they came out with a new Wii Sports game, you know, motion controls, I think, make the most sense for that. Now, if it's something more subtle, like, you know, adding just some basic aiming to something like Splatoon, you know, I still think that shows that there's value with motion controls. And just so I'm not, you know, completely biased to Nintendo, Steam, Valve, the company that does Steam and Half-Life and all that stuff, their new Steam controller actually has motion built into it. So what some people have done, they've actually implemented Splatoon-like motion controls with first-person shooters on the PC using this controller. So that to me gives some validity to motion controls, you know, outside of the normal sports uses or anything like that.
All right, I could agree with that. I just don't want it as my main control method. I want to stick with traditional controls as my main input when it comes to interacting with games.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. You know, until games get fully, you know, virtual reality and we can, you know, everything's one-to-one and mapped, if it can't sense accurately all the time, then it's not worth doing now.
So. Until it's a holodeck, it's not worth doing.
There you go. You heard it here, folks.
That's my standard. It's got to be, it's holodeck or bust.
There you go. I think that's kind of where people's expectations are anyway. You know, like, I mean, if you look at the time, I mean, Skyward Sword came out in 2011, right?
Right.
End of 2011. So, I mean, you know, at the time, what were some of the other games that were using motion controls? I mean, is there another example of a game that does sword implementation, battling, all of the stuff that Skyward Sword did better? Probably not. Now, can they improve upon it? Sure. Can they get rid of the need for recalibrating, you know, all the time and all of this, where it loses the sensing capability after, you know, too much use or whatever? Absolutely. So yeah, if it ever comes back, or, you know, if it's ever implemented in the future, it's got to be better, you know, whether it's got cameras in the room that can sense your position at all times and never has to calibrate or whatever it is. But I don't think we've seen the last of motion controls.
I hope we have. All right. And with that, let me go ahead and start running the outro.
Sounds good.
I want to thank Justin. Thank you for joining me on this episode.
No problem. It was fun.
I'd also like to thank our listeners for tuning into the KoopaCast this week. If you have a question for the KoopaCast, you can always email us at podcast@purenintendo.com. You can also talk to us on Twitter. I am @purely_Matt. And Justin is @purely_Justin. And finally, all of us together are @PureNintendo. So if you want to hear more of the KoopaCast, you can always take a look at our YouTube page, youtube.com/purenintendo. For our audio listeners, you can always go to iTunes and look up KoopaCast. And for everyone else, you could check out our audio collection at purenintendo.com/podcasts. And finally, those looking for that nice RSS feed, it's purenintendo.com/feed/podcast. Finally, for more news, reviews, and features, please check out purenintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. And we will see you next time.
See you, everyone.